Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in my closet recording far, far away from my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt. How's your quarantine going this week?
Well, I'm pretty sure I cooked my hand last night.
Was it delicious?
It was so good. Oh, tender, juicy.
A little crunch,
just
too.
Just the right amount of spice. Oh, yeah. I like a flaky skin.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm like, I made chili because who doesn't love on a hot 90 degrees summer day when it's humid and the air conditioner is struggling against the heat? Who doesn't love a hot steaming bowl of hearty chili?
It's a facial and a meal all in one.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I made. So I've been making, because it's one of the like three recipes that I know how to make now, and which involves mostly dumping stuff into a giant pot and then stirring that pot. But I don't know. I like doubled the recipe. So the pot was like filled all the way to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I was stirring it for, I guess, longer than maybe usual. And after I finished, I was like, my hand is fully burnt. Like it was like throbbing last night.
Oh, God.
So I like fully cooked my, it was like at least medium rare. And I had to put like emergency burn gel on it.
Oh my God.
I literally cooked my hand. Anyway, so now I know that I have to wear gloves when I cook because I can't be trusted. How's your week going?
Oh, well, you know, my dog, I found out, has hookworm. And then my stomach was acting up like a lot and acting really weird. And I was absolutely convinced that my dog gave me hookworm because that is one of the parasites that can be transmitted from dog to human. But then I remembered that you and I ate a milkshake and that I can't digest dairy. And I think that's probably what it was.
Nice.
So I'd say I'm doing like really well.
I don't know what the symptoms of a hookworm are.
So in dogs, it's licking your paws and diarrhea, both of which I had. But it turns out in humans, it's actually...
What does that mean?
I just couldn't stop licking
your paws. What do you mean, both of which I
had? I could not stop licking my paws. Like, it just could not stop. No, JK, only one of those things. But then I guess it turns out in humans, it's like mostly a rash. And then I saw photos and it was terrifying. And I was like, no, I definitely don't have hookworm. I just had a milkshake. And that's where I'm at.
And on that note, coming up on today, we got Worst Things First, where I chat about the stupidest, most ridiculous worst news of the week. After that, we're diving deep into our biggest kitchen complaints, besides me literally cooking my hand. Because, yeah, I've been spending a lot of time in my kitchen, which obviously means I have a lot of pent up frustrations about it. And a throbbing hand to go along with it. Then we've got a guest complainer I simply cannot wait for you to hear. We got an absolute food extraordinaire, Sola El Whaley, on the pod. You may know her name and face from Bon Appetit, where she's been making news lately as part of an effort to demand equal pay for the people of color who appear in Bon Appetit Test Kitchen videos. If you want to hear more about that, She did do another interview on the Sporkful podcast that covers a whole lot of what went down there. She really is a badass and absolutely deserves everything that she is demanding. Sola, I fucking love Sola so much. If you watch Bon Appetit Test Kitchen videos, you know that she's the one holding that shit down and telling everybody else how to do everything. But I just wanted to have like a fun chat with Sola and get our complaining on. So we talked about cooking and quar, and while whole roasted chickens are a scam, the hard-hitting stuff. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's grab our whisks and start the show. All right, worst things first. Let's chat about the worst news of the week. First, Arizona police are looking for the owner of an escaped animal traipsing around the streets near a golf course in Scottsdale. That animal? An emu.
Yeah. No.
They're at it again. They've infiltrated the United States. The number of people who have messaged us about emus in the last week, more than five.
I would like to go on the record and say I was absolutely right and I would not want to fight an emu.
Apparently, no other bird, and I feel like we've talked about birds quite a bit on this podcast, no other bird has elicited such an outpouring of response from the public than the emus. Okay, people are very adamant about the fact that emus are dangerous, that they have claws. Someone just today tweeted that there was a literal war in Australia against the emus. And that's as much as I know about it.
And now they're infiltrating our golf courses.
And now, yeah, they've come to Arizona to go golfing.
I mean, their necks would make for great golf clubs. Like, they don't even need golf clubs. They just have their necks.
Yeah, you see it. You see videos of golfers in their stance. They're kind of like bent over a little bit. That is, the emus are in a perpetual golfer stance.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're actually, their arms do seem a little bit short.
They have arms?
So, well, wings.
Okay. I was about to say, have you seen a picture of an emu? Arms are not wings. Wings are not
arms.
It's
like a T-Rex. They have very short arms. Because I'm thinking of...
What?
I'm thinking of emus and T-Rexes.
Yeah.
They're all shaped the same.
Okay. But for the record, emus do not have arms.
But close enough, okay?
Okay, fine.
This has been Science with Matt.
The point is, why is there a giant bird? And I guess if I were an emu and I was in the United States and I wanted to feel like I was home, I would go to Arizona. Because that feels like most like the Australian outback, the bush, as they say.
Yeah.
Last year, apparently, the Phoenix police responded to another large bird loose in the area and wrangled and returned another emu to its owner in Scottsdale. Unclear, based on this story, whether it was the same emu. Or if, I guess, there are just a lot of emus in Arizona. Maybe there are. And honestly, I don't give a shit. Don't correct me. Anyway. Next, police in Italy have identified a 50-year-old man who posed on top of a 200-year-old statue by some famous artist at a museum and snapped off a bunch of its toes. And now he may face charges. First of all, this statue, it's technically the plastic, like, cast that the real statue was...
Don't tell me that, okay?
On?
Because if you tell me that, it just breaks all barriers of reality for me.
Like, right.
Isn't it that the Liberty Bell is also not actually the Liberty Bell?
I don't fucking know.
I'm truly just quoting a Mitski song, but I believe her.
I mean, this plastic cast was also 200 years old. It wasn't like a modern... It wasn't like, oh, he got this plastic cast from Target and broke that. And no, it's also 200 years old and he snapped that off. The real statue is in like a gallery in Rome. Based on, if you watch the video of this man, he like hops up on the statue thing. It's not protected by ropes or anything. So at that point, it's like you can't blame him. Okay.
Mm-mm.
Yes, he's a 50-year-old adult man who hopped up on a statue and broke it. But also, what do you expect? So the statue was by Antonio Canova, and it was of Paulina Bonaparte, Napoleon's... Who knew Napoleon had a sister?
Yeah, this is bullshit. This is the fucking patriarchy. All we hear about is Napoleon. I never knew he had a sister. What did she do? Tell me everything about her.
Yeah, what if she was taller than him?
That's actually the only thing I want to know.
I love it, though, that they found this man because of coronavirus contact tracing. So, basically... Every museum visitor has to leave their personal information for contact tracing so that, like, if there is an outbreak, they can contact all the people and say, like, hey, you were at the museum when someone was confirmed positive or whatever. So the police contacted a woman on the phone and she started immediately sobbing and saying that her husband broke the toes. And the husband, who was also upset, confessed and repented for the, quote, stupid move. And finally, two 23-year-old twins who are apparently famous on TikTok are facing felony charges for allegedly posing as bank robbers during pranks last October that led to an Uber driver being held at gunpoint.
No.
Every word in this sentence is a dagger into my skull. So there's these two brothers. I don't even... Who fucking cares? They have 25 million followers on TikTok.
I don't understand.
4 million subscribers on YouTube. And they were dressed all in black, wearing ski masks and carrying duffel bags full of cash. And then they pretended that they had robbed a bank while a videographer filmed them basically accosting an unsuspecting Uber driver. And then what ended up happening was, like, someone called the police. They showed up with firearms and pointed it at the Uber driver and made the Uber driver get out. So it's like you pretended to do a crime, then, like, got an Uber driver involved, and then the Uber driver had a police officer pointing guns at them. This happened last October, but, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? This is not a prank. Like, what is our definition of pranks?
I mean, I would like to rebrand crimes as pranks.
Right, right. It was a prank, okay, Judge? Jeez. Yeah, it's like you can't even pretend to rob a bank anymore and get
Do you even know who Ashton Kutcher is? Like, come on.
If you say punked after it, you can do literally anything.
That's the law.
Every part of the story I absolutely hate. Everything from the fact that they're twins, because that should be illegal, to the fact that they're famous on TikTok, to the fact that they pretended to rob a bank. They're also, I mean, this week, yeah, the FBI raided Jake Paul's house, which is just insane. Literal armored vehicles are rolling up to a YouTuber's house. We have reached fully, like, the part of the simulation where everything, it's like someone is hitting all of the cheat codes too many times all at once, and the computer is breaking. So, like, down with internet stars, frankly.
What does that mean for you?
I'll go down with them. I don't even give a shit. Anyway, that's it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, we're diving deep into our kitchen cabinets. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Okay, so many of us have become unwittingly familiar with our kitchens over the past few months because it turns out if you don't want to pay to have your food brought to you and you don't learn how to make it yourself, you die.
What?
Which feels unfair.
It's like, it's definitely extreme.
Yeah. I never asked to be born. And now I have to learn how to roast a broccoli. I have to fill a pot of water and then wait several minutes for it to get all angry before I can dump some raviolis in it? No, I didn't ask for any of this. Why do I have to know this stuff? I'm pushing out other, more important knowledge, like how to wipe my own ass. You can forget real easily, and people don't acknowledge that enough. Every few weeks I have to remind myself how to do it. I have to watch a YouTube video. No. And you know why? It's because there's so many GD kitchen utensils I have to learn how to use.
Wow, censoring yourself with GD.
Because here we are 5 months into quarantine, and I know things about my kitchen that nobody should ever have to know, okay? Like how to clean the stovetop burners. Seriously, I shouldn't have to know how to do that. I shouldn't be forced into knowing how to clean my stovetop. This is what COVID has done to me. By the way, stoves, horrible design. Stovetops, shit gets absolutely everywhere under this metal grate that you can't even move because it's suddenly fire. It's just like devastation every night. Also, like, what if I accidentally use a cleaning spray that shouldn't be exposed to heat, and then I turn the stove on and it creates a bunch of noxious fumes that murder me and my entire family?
Man, I think about that every time I clean my stove, and yet I never actually care.
I've just been using like a natural cleaner, and I'm like, I'm assuming it's fine. If it's natural, it can't kill me.
Right. You know what else is natural and can be lit on fire? Wood.
Everything. True. Yeah.
Yeah, you ever think about that, Matt?
Anyway, these are the worst things in the kitchen.
First,
why are there so many types of knife? I truly don't understand why there isn't just one knife. Why do we need a whole block of different knives? Big knives, small knives, fat knives, skinny knives. Noah, we like one. This is communism. We get one knife.
Also, why are all of them dull?
Yeah. How am I supposed to know how to sharpen a knife? All I want to do is cut up a strawberry, and now I have to become some kind of Iron Age blacksmith? Whipping and waving my swords around the kitchen?
It's ridiculous. I've looked it up, and they were like, you should be sharpening your knives after, like, every other use. And I'm like, that's fucking insane. Who has the time?
Yeah, no, I have been trying to cook more, and every time I have to chop an onion, first of all, I'm like, how the fuck do you chop an onion?
Because that's the only thing that I know how to chop well, but I only know how to dice it. So then when a recipe calls for like any other kind of onion look, I'm like, nope, you're getting it diced.
I can't do it. I tried yesterday and I mostly succeeded. Although last night I did have one of those where I had to like go sit down and like cry for 5 minutes because I cut it the wrong way. That's the first time that I think I've had that where my eyes were just on fire.
Oh, it's almost every onion for me.
I don't know why. Maybe I'm not buying, like yesterday was the first like good onion I bought. I struggled so much with the onion, and I'm realizing, oh, it's because my knife is not sharp, and yeah. I'm just struggling against this thick onion Shrek skin, and I don't know how to sharpen a knife, because also there's that one tool that's basically like, looks like a sword.
Mm-hmm. A little
that
poker.
You're supposed, yeah, that you're supposed to like rapidly shave the knife against.
Mm-mm.
And it turns out that thing doesn't even sharpen your knife. It just straightens it.
What?
I read that once. That like your knife is like microscopically zigzaggy. And by doing that on each side of your knife, it straightens out the blade and makes cutting easier. But then like there's a separate tool that you need to actually like sharpen it.
I don't know. All I know is that when we went to visit Alex's parents, I used one knife of theirs and it was the sharpest thing that I've ever used. And I was like, oh, I guess if you'd like spend money on a real knife, then like it's fine.
Yeah, my main knife is from IKEA. And I also bought this like knife sharpener from IKEA. And it's basically like a knife fleshlight that you put your knife into and like... fuck it. I was trying to think of another word, but I couldn't. I also don't trust cutting boards because I think they absorb all of my secrets.
Yeah, they do.
You're a surface. Once I use you and wash you, you shouldn't smell like garlic and onions anymore, you useless piece of shit. But they remember. They remember everything. That's why you can't use the same cutting boards for meat as you use for everything else, because that cutting board is like, hey, remember when you touched me with all that meat juice 2 weeks ago? Do you remember that? No? Well, I do. I remember. Have some salmonella. That's what they say. I have that conversation every day.
They whisper
with my
it
cutting
in our
board.
Little ears.
Yeah. And then they sneeze right into my mouth. That happened to me on my walk yesterday. I walked past a restaurant and this straight man stood up from the restaurant table and sneezed so violently, made no attempt to cover his mouth. It was just an open sneeze. And it wasn't like directly in my direction. It was more like parallel to how I was walking. But I literally jumped and screamed, "Jesus!" Like, what the fuck is wrong? I've seen more fights on the street, and I was, like, ready to throw down with this man. I was that upset. It was, yeah. Like, are you fucking kidding me? What is wrong with you? Even not in pandemic times, that's disgusting.
Absolutely.
What is wrong with you? And that's why I don't feel comfortable going to any restaurant, because I'm like, oh, you're the type of person eating here.
Oh, disgusting. Shame.
Anyway. Lemon juicers, any fruit juicer, like a lime juicer, mm-hmm, lemon mm-hmm. juicer, that one where you like put the half in it and then clamp down on
it's it. Such a smart idea. Never works.
Never works.
And also it gets like weirdly grimy. And I'm like, it's just a lemon that's been in here. And lemon is like a cleaning agent. It should not be getting grimy.
Also, like, they're too small.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Lemons have gotten big, okay? I don't, based on like what we feed them, lemons have gotten mutantly large, and we have to adjust our lemon juicers. Stop making lemon juicers that are too small for the giant lemons that we have. That's the same thing I say about underwear. Because guess what? This dick is it's too big.
Sure.
That's why I say it. When I write my letters to all of these big companies about their products, I always say the same thing. Lemon juicers and underwear. You got to make the product to fit what's going in it. Next! What does the fan on the top of the stove actually do? What are you sucking up there, sir? A sham is what it is. There's nothing happening in that fan.
I love when apartments have it because you know that it's just there for vanity. Like, the only time it works is if it's actually an exhaust to outside. Otherwise, it's just like recirculating it in your own apartment.
Probably. It's just like whenever I think, oh, I should turn on the fan, it's already too late. Like, the smoke is already filling the apartment. The fire alarm is going off. Yeah. And I feel like I've said this before. I have one of those sprinklers too. So I have a smoke alarm, but then there's also a sprinkler, and I'm so scared. If that thing goes off, like, everything is ruined. And I'm sure it's like, I think it only goes off if like a literal flame touches it.
Right.
But you never know. You never know. Next. Also, I don't like kitchen tools that only accomplish like one thing. I have all of my 7 drawers are full of kitchen utensils that accomplish one thing and one thing only each. And it's like, no, if I'm expected to do multiple tasks over the course of my life, then so are you, you piece of shit. Like a pastry cutter. I have a pastry cutter. Do you know what a pastry cutter is?
Of course not. Yeah, it cuts pastries.
It's like this thing that you hold. It looks like Wolverine's hands a little bit.
Yeah.
And it cuts up butter so that you don't have to touch it and it melt the butter.
Right.
So it can keep the butter cold, which I used in one video. And then the next video, when I made my peach cobbler, I specifically didn't use a pastry cutter and said, I'm using my fingers because I wanted to show it using my fingers. And multiple people were like, you need a pastry cutter. Why don't you go fuck yourself? Okay. Sometimes, I used a pastry cutter.
Sometimes I want to be the pastry cutter. Okay.
Yeah. Why would I use a pastry cutter when God gave me these 10 fingers to do 2 things? Do you know what? This is where I get real religious.
Oh boy.
Oh God, it says in the Bible, God gave Matt 10 fingers to jerk off dicks and to break up butter into pea-sized bits for pastry dough. So why don't you take that up with her? Okay. Wow. Capital H-E-R. And finally, honestly, there's just too many things that have to go into the kitchen. That's why I just want one of those Downton Abbey kitchens. That's just an entire section of the house that's in the basement and also run by like an elderly ginger woman who's losing her eyesight. I would love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely not married. Like, never been married ever in her life. And they call her like Mrs. Patmore.
She is self-partnered like Emma Watson. I would like to point out that on DowntonAbbey.fandom.com, when you look up Mrs. Patmore, the quote is, "Do I look like a frolicker?" Mrs. Patmore to Mr. Carson when she is accused of frolicking with Ethel. God forbid we be accused of frolicking.
Yeah. Women weren't allowed to frolic until like 2017.
Yeah.
And that's it for this week's deep dive. Next, we got Sola El Whaley on the pod right after this commercial break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
My guest complainer today is self-proclaimed food person Sola El Whaley. She's worked in restaurants, she's worked as a food editor, and she's currently working on an exciting project for the fall that I won't give away just yet. We could talk about that soon. Welcome, Sola.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Okay, so we start by asking, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
Sunshine. I hate it, and I can't escape it. Our apartment has two skylights. We've managed to cover one up. Still working on the other one.
Uh-huh.
I just want to be in a dark basement for the rest of my life.
I hard agree, first of all. And I've started to feel the same thing. I don't know if it's been like quarantine has made it worse, but I have, you know, it's this thing in New York where like I have like great natural light, which is like a luxury in New York City. But also come like the afternoon time when the sun is shining directly, I'm like, I don't need this right now.
It's
making me feel worse.
Yeah. Well, I'm originally from LA, so it's just nonstop sunshine. December, it's sunny. March, it's sunny. It's just, I just want a little bit of clouds. I want some rain.
Right.
I really like fog.
Ooh, okay.
And like New York is just slowly, I feel like New York is slowly turning into California. The summers are just longer and longer. We got like two months of winter last year. Where do I go? I need to move to Canada.
Or like the UK or somewhere where it is just like perpetually cloudy.
Mm-hmm. Like I think I need to get a liquid nitrogen dewar so I can create my own steady stream of fog. And I just want to live in that like cool, crisp, foggy mess.
Right.
I would probably die. I think that that's not safe for enclosed spaces.
I saw someone post a video because, you know, a lot of these like food, like HelloFresh and all of those places, they pack everything with like dry ice. Mm-hmm. You can like take all of those packs apart and put them in your sink and like make your own little fog party for like, you know, a day. Of course, I imagine that you are not getting boxed food. But, you know, if you ever go down that road, That's a fun tip.
I have like the opposite problem. There's too much food around me all the time.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about like how your quarantine has been, because your husband is also a chef, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is just like, I just imagine that means you both have better knives with which you'll stab one another eventually, like being trapped together for this much time. But also, like, does this mean that you are just constantly cooking with one another?
Yeah,
or just in general?
Yeah, normally we would just have like Sundays are like our big cooking day. We usually go to the market and then spend the whole day like making each other snacks.
Yeah.
But that has become our like just everyday life, which is nice. It's like we actually haven't wanted to stab each other.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Clearly I'm projecting my own my own lifestyle. Yeah, no, that's great.
I have a lot of knives. That's accurate.
Right. I mean, I complained. So there, an earlier segment of this episode, we complained about our least favorite kitchen tools. And my main complaint is that there are just too many types of knives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do I need more than one knife?
Honestly, I think at home you don't.
Okay. Like, but you have a lot of them.
Well, I mean, I don't need them now that I'm just like developing recipes for the home cook. I kind of just use one or two knives. But like in a restaurant... You do need, like, you need a knife for breaking down fish. You need a knife for breaking down chicken. But, like, you're not...
That's
true.
Not,
who's filleting a halibut at home?
I absolutely refuse. Nothing that requires more than, like, a few knife strokes. I mean, you really came on the podcast of a man who knows how to cook about three things.
Okay.
Average.
Well, okay, what are the three things? I have to know.
Okay, so in quarantine, I pretty much have been eating like almost the same thing every day, which is I make a mean bowl of oatmeal in the morning. That's a good skill. I have like a spinach scramble, like quinoa thing that I throw together for lunch. And then for dinner, I've just been making this like turkey chili. Anything that involves basically throwing stuff into one container.
God, and that's like a nightmare.
It.
I hate that. I hate eating things out of one thing.
Well, yeah, you will not like dining in my apartment. Do you have like a go-to dish that you've been making, or do you make different stuff all the time?
No. I actually, so lately I've been watching YouTube. I never really did before. And there's this one like series where people talk about what they eat in a day. And yeah. I was just thinking, I was like, I could never do that because everything I eat every day is like totally different. Complete chaos. Yeah. I don't even eat at like normal human times.
Does that mean like you have three meals, but they're just like at wild times, or are you like just eat at wildly different? It doesn't matter. There's no set meal time.
There's no set anything. Like it'll go from like maybe we'll have one giant meal for dinner one day and like nothing else the rest of the day. And then maybe another day where I'm like developing a bunch of recipes and I'm just like picking at stuff all day. And then you don't really want to eat a meal. So it's just like chaos. Probably not good for you.
The only reason that I have tried to stick to it is just because it's probably not the best way to structure your day, but it is some structure of like, I know when lunchtime is, and that's when I know what I do during lunchtime, and it is eat the same thing. So it's like, you know, it provides me with some structure. But what else was I? Oh yeah. Have you developed any other hobbies during quarantine? Like, are you sick of talking about food?
No, I don't think that'll ever happen.
That's good.
Like last night, my husband and I were just like talking through this recipe I've been working on for the last week that I've kind of like been struggling with. And then afterwards we were like, this is great. Like I should be so grateful. Like my life turned out just like if like 8-year-old Sola saw me now, she'd be so excited because all I do all day is play with food, talk about food, hang out with people who like food. I don't really want to talk about anything else.
I love that so much. That's so pure.
I'll never get sick of it. Never, ever. Yeah.
So you knew from like a very young age that you wanted to be working in food?
I don't think I knew. I just like, I was one of those kids, like I tried everything. Like I played piano for a while. I fenced. I painted. But the one constant hobby I always had was cooking. And I tried getting a job in finance.
Oh.
But it was 2008, so that didn't work out so well. And then I just decided, I just like food. I'm going to just like keep working in food. And I didn't have a big plan or vision. I just wanted to like, I just kind of sought out places where I would learn and have fun. And that's kind of worked out well for me.
Right. Yeah. I mean, thank God for the financial crisis of 2008. Where would you be without it?
I know so many people who got into food because of that, actually. Because you can always get a job at a restaurant no matter what's happening.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, what will we be saying about this time 10 years from now?
Maybe not now.
right.
Well, in slightly other ways, now. Like there's probably work in grocery stores, grocery delivery. Everyone's got to eat no matter what's happening. And that's kind of the cool thing about food. It's always important.
Right. So you have two dogs?
Two dogs and a cat.
And a cat, right. Mm-hmm. Lucifer, if I'm not mistaken, if yes. My research is correct.
She's right next to me. She looks very regal. We got the Shiba Inu first, and he came along with some baggage. So he was like really difficult in the beginning, and he'd like scratch at the walls and run around in circles. We had to get him a lot of like doggy therapy. He has a doggy therapist and things like that. But the thing that really helped him was getting the bulldog. The bulldog is basically his personal emotional support animal.
Yeah.
They cannot be separated.
That's great that they have one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get along great.
Are they thriving in quarantine?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. They just like, they love having us around all day. I think they're going to have a hard time when we're not around all day. And they're just getting longer walks and a lot more love. And like my husband's hobby now is like, he's obsessed with taking care of them. He brushes their teeth twice a day like people.
Oh my God.
Even the vet was like, that's a lot. This like, you don't have to do that, but sure, go for it.
I mean, wait, has he always done that or has that been like a recent hobby?
No, that's his recent hobby is them.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that does seem a little extreme, but they have to have the best oral health of any dog.
Oh, yeah. There's no puppy breath around here.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're so fresh.
Do they eat canned food or do they get the gourmet treatment?
Oh, I mean, I think we spend more on their food than we spend on our own food.
As in purchasing like pre-made food or do you make?
No, there's some really good high quality dog food out there right now. So we get them grass-fed, organic, raw lamb. That's all they eat. It's a little out of control, but they're in good shape. And I think it's because of the food.
Yeah. I mean, they're it sounds like they're getting like absolute royal treatment, as they should be.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we would treat a human child this well. Because kids talk.
Yeah, that's
true. You don't like them as much.
Dogs really only have redeeming qualities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dogs are so easy. Like just a walk and then they're asleep until dinner time, another walk, and then all they do is nap. So it's, I don't think kids are that easy. You have to like educate them, discipline
right,
them.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And they don't, I feel like a dog for the most part and a cat, like 90% of their day is napping.
Yeah, totally.
If anything, I just resent them for what they can do. Mm-hmm. And I can't.
They're really in charge. Exactly. They've really figured this life out.
Left turn. recipe development. Tell me about this process. Like you have, does it start with an idea for a food and then you throw something together and then just start tweaking it? Like,
well, we have like a pitching process first, but like, I think this happens mostly to me. What I pitch never ends up being the final recipe, ever. Every single recipe of mine goes through a ridiculous journey. Like other people are pretty like focused. Like Molly will pitch a potato salad and then it'll be that potato salad at the end. But like I'm working on this pie right now and the initial pitch was for a baklava pie and it is currently not that at all. I've gone through like 10 versions. It went from like baklava pie to cranberry pie to citrus pie. And I can't tell you, but I think I had a little breakthrough last night and I got something cool happening, but I don't want to reveal the final pie. But like,
right.
It went through so, like, whenever I do a recipe, it goes through a journey. So,
is there like a certain number, like, what is the most amount of stabs that you've taken at one recipe?
I think probably It was for the cinnamon buns that I did for Basically that came out in like March. And I think I went through like 25 versions.
Oh my God.
But don't worry, there's always people to eat all your mistakes. So that's not
right,
a problem.
Right.
Yeah. It's not hard to get rid of a cinnamon bun.
That's true. That was going to be one of my questions was like, especially for the past 5 months, you know, cooking at home is like, or do you end up throwing stuff away? So I've been baking a bunch and I like know if my neighbors are that thrilled about me being like, hey, here's a thing that you don't really know me, but like, here's a bunch of food that I don't want to eat.
They'll be thrilled. Over quarantine, because of developing from home, it's the first time in my life I've ever talked to my neighbors.
It's true. It's that actually very New York thing.
No, but it's been great. Like, it started out as me just like trying to get rid of mountains of chicken parm. And now we're actually like becoming friends. So
that's good.
It's really cool. Like, I think it was really like nerve-wracking the first time I just like knocked on a stranger's door and was like, do you want some chicken parm? But everybody really wants to connect, especially right now. So, you know.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. Just go for it. Give them your brownies. They'll love it.
All right. You talked me into it. Another video, this is again a left turn. There was a line in another video of yours I was watching where you just said, I've been very into burnt nuts lately. And I'd like an explanation.
Okay. So it was one of the snacks my husband made one of these days. He made like a mixed nut thing and he burned the nuts like intentionally with curry leaves and lime leaves and all these spices. And it was so delicious. And now I'm just like, why don't we just burn our nuts? I love it. So like next time you burn your nuts, don't throw them away. Give them a try. Give burnt nuts a try. Yeah.
That is one of the iconic smells of New York besides, you know, piss and garbage.
And hot dogs.
It's like, right. And hot dogs and every, you know, pizza is that nut place. I'm forgetting the name of the
nuts
nut
for nuts.
Carts. Yeah. Every time I'm like, I need to try these nuts.
Every time, but it's always a disappointment. It always smells so much better than it actually tastes.
I'm not surprised to hear
it's
that.
It's a tourist trap.
Yeah. I won't lie. I saw a picture of, so I stan Harry Styles, and I saw a picture of him in Central Park eating those nuts, and I was a little disappointed that he fell for it.
He should know better. But he's not American. He's not a New Yorker. He doesn't know.
That's true. That's true.
I can't blame him.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt in that case. I should have taught him better.
This is really your fault. You know,
yeah.
This was your responsibility. He is foreign to our land. You need to tell him to stay away from those carts.
Yeah, it was my job as the person in his life. Listen, we don't have to go too far into our relationship, but yeah, I fucked up. Okay, so this project that you've been working on, stop me if I'm giving something away, but you've been developing a bunch of stuff for Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah. So for print, you actually have to do everything pretty far in advance.
Yeah.
So Thanksgiving gets developed in July and everybody hates it. They're like, I don't want to make Thanksgiving in July. And I was like, I do. I want an opportunity for extra Thanksgiving because it's my favorite holiday. So
yeah.
I got the big Thanksgiving story. And it's really cool because this year we're doing like non-traditional Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
So up until like pretty recently, my husband and I have just been working in restaurants. So we usually have to make like 300 turkeys, you know? So, and like, we're usually working on Thanksgiving. So we do like an anti-Thanksgiving the next day with like no Thanksgiving food whatsoever. Cause you get sick of seeing those casseroles.
Right.
So I'm doing like an anti-Thanksgiving meal. So there's no turkey, there's no stuffing, there's no cranberry sauce, but it's going to be big and festive. And it's like a combination of all of our cultures. So it's like all of the things that our moms would make, you know, for a holiday.
Right.
So I think it'll be cool. Yeah. I'm really excited.
That does sound exciting. So that is like all of the recipes that you've been developing have been basically Thanksgiving themed.
Yeah. The last 2 weeks it's been Thanksgiving up in here. And I'm pretty happy with how it's come out. It's really fun. So when I'm recipe developing at work, my husband doesn't get to see all of the versions. He just like gets to see the good one that I bring home. So it's been fun that he's gotten to see the whole journey with me.
Right.
Yeah.
I just imagine like after developing these recipes that you would become absolutely disgusted by every single one? Because you've seen it so much.
I'm not with this. I'm really happy with this menu. I actually think we're going to make this exact menu for Thanksgiving.
And okay.
Like, yeah, and like I was thinking about it this year, we probably won't have people over. Who knows like where we're going to be at with right. COVID. So it'll probably just be us. So it kind of is going to feel like with like the people making these recipes at home, it's going to feel like I'm celebrating Thanksgiving with all of them. You know, so like it's in some ways it's going to be the biggest Thanksgiving dinner of all.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, that was the thought I had was like based on the trajectory of things, it mm-hmm. seems like it's going to be a different Thanksgiving for everybody.
Yeah.
And like whether that is a consideration when you're developing stuff is, I mean, I guess when you're developing a recipe anyway, the thought is that like people are preparing this at home on a small scale anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that this will be a like different Thanksgiving, whether that is like a consideration at all?
Yeah. I mean, my perspective for this story is like, regardless of whether it's 2 or 8 people, I'm still going to cook for 8 because otherwise it doesn't feel like Thanksgiving to me.
Right.
But you know, leftovers are the best part, I think.
Yeah. I don't think I asked. I mentioned that in the earlier part of this episode, we had a segment about kitchen tools that we hate.
Mm-hmm.
Are there kitchen tools that you are like vehemently opposed to?
Most of them. Like, I don't think there's a lot of things you need outside of like one big knife, one little knife, a cutting board, and a couple of pans. When I see things like avocado slicer, mm-hmm. corn shucker, egg right. slicer, like why do you have these things don't need to exist. A lot of kitchen tools are just like marketing. Like I saw this one thing where you can like crack an egg and cook it in a tube and it just like ejects. Yeah. Why? It's not that hard to cook an egg. And it's so disgusting because it slithers out just like a flaccid penis and collapses. Like, I don't want to eat that for breakfast.
No, that thing is an abomination, and mm-hmm. whoever made it belongs in the 7th layer of hell. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm like, not going to lie, though. It's not that easy to cook an egg. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, okay? Some of us are running from the back of the pack here, and it depends on the type of preparation. But
you're not going to get better using that thing. Just use a pot, a regular old pot. You've got one, I promise. You probably have a pot, some water.
I do have 1 or 2 pots, yeah.
And like, I think the reason why, I've seen there's like a lot of gadgets for hard boiling and peeling eggs, but there uh-huh. are a few tricks to make it really easy for you.
Oh.
There's 2 main things. So you wanna drop it into hot water, boiling water mm-hmm. or steam. If you start it from cold, the shell sticks to the egg more. And then after it's cooked, gentle tap with the back of a spoon, crack it all over, while it's hot, right out of the water, and then ice bath, and then boom. And that just immediately pulls the proteins of the egg away from the shell, and it'll peel off like a dream. I promise.
Okay.
You don't need a weird gadget. It's just about technique, you know? And I think it's right. like, it's really hard because there's a lot of recipes out there that demonstrate bad technique. And like,
yeah.
as an average home cook, how do you know who's right and who's wrong?
Right.
Just listen to me. I'm right.
I trust you. I also love you have become like the de facto queen of tempering chocolate. I don't know how.
Like I don't understand how no one there knows how to temper chocolate. It blows my mind. It's insane. Like most like restaurants I've worked at, the busboy can temper chocolate. It's really not hard. I don't get it. Just stir. Just keep stirring, Claire.
It does seem like, I've never attempted it myself, but it does seem like you're just, especially if you have the tools that I imagine the test kitchen has.
Well, you just need a bowl and a pot.
Also, yeah.
You have the tools. You can go temper chocolate after this is over.
Well, yeah. I mean, I absolutely could. Yeah. I haven't had occasion to, but
I just think
day.
It's hilarious. I enjoy it now that for somehow no one there can temper chocolate. But I guess, you know, maybe now they do. Who knows?
I do want to get to some of you sent in some stuff to complain about. We call this bowl of shit talk. Mm-hmm. And I just want to talk some shit about a few topics. One is whole roasted chickens.
Uh-huh. I think they're totally overrated.
Uh-huh. Are you talking like buying one pre-made or like just the idea of roasting whole chicken in general?
Roasting your chicken whole. Like, I think that we have this like romantic vision of it. Like, because there's so many, like, it's that Norman Rockwell thing, like something about a whole bird feels great to you, but it's the worst way to cook chicken. It really is. It's never going to be good, even like, even if you're a master. It's never going to be as good if you just spatchcocked it or cut it into parts and cooked it separately. Like,
right.
The white meat and the dark meat, they don't cook the same way.
I think I remember kind of like learning something like that from a Bon Appetit video, which was, I think it might have been last year's Thanksgiving video when you're trying to figure out like, okay, do you cook this turkey whole or cut it up? And it's like, yeah, well, this is a giant ass piece of meat and like they all don't cook the same.
Yeah, yeah. I blame the media making you think you want your family to gather around this whole bird, but it's going to be cooked terribly. It's not going to taste good. I think that people should always buy their chicken whole for sure, but learn how to cut it. Learn how to break it down. That's like a really valuable skill.
Now I know. Now I have to learn how to cut up a chicken and...
It's so easy. You got it. There's so many YouTube videos and all you need is a knife and some scissors, which you probably already have.
Right. My one, like the one thing keeping me from being a vegetarian is the fact that I could buy meat that someone else has already prepared from like a seamless situation. You know, I just hate handling like raw meat, but
I used
that's
to be like
personal
that too.
Problem.
No, I totally have that. Like, especially chicken. It's hard to not think about the salmonella going everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I have that too. But like, you know, it's like one of those things, the more you do it, like I used to have a problem picking up dog poop and now I don't even care. I do it all the time. I think it's cute.
I really hate that those two thoughts followed one another, but I get it. another thing, foods where all of the components are jammed together, like burritos, lasagna, any kind
and
of
chili.
Bowl.
Turkey chili.
That's right. We did. You did have a visceral reaction to me putting everything in one bowl.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I was one of those people like, I don't like my food to touch.
I get that.
I also don't like human touching. Second issue.
Right.
But like, I'm okay with my food touching now, but I just like, I don't want it all in like one thing. Like burritos really bother me. You know,
I think what bothers me about a burrito is that you're never really, especially the way that people like a Chipotle puts together a burrito where it's like the biggest thing you've ever seen ever. Like there's no way that you're getting like a good bite.
No, never. Every single bite is weird. You have no control. I want control when I'm eating. Like, I think that's the problem. Like one bite's a bunch of guacamole and then you get a mouthful of beans. But like,
right.
You know, I'd rather have all of that. You know, I want a little pile of beans, a little pile of rice, this little guac. I'll make my own bite. And then, you know, you can explore. Every bite can be different.
Yeah. Yeah.
This also reminded me of this KFC bowl. I don't know if they still make this. Maybe they do. But there was a time where they sold these bowls and it was like a bowl of everything that you want in a fried chicken meal in a bowl. So it was like mashed potatoes, corn, mac and cheese, pieces of popcorn, chicken, gravy. And it was just like horrified me to the core. Like, what's
Maybe
wrong?
Maybe I'm just hungry right now, but like that sounds good? Pretty good.
I need control. This is just what, I just need control over what I'm eating.
Yeah, everything up into, I think, mac and cheese. There's something about mac and cheese and like mashed potatoes touching that doesn't sit right with me. But everything else I'm on board with just kind of mashing together.
I guess to each his own.
Yeah, you know, and I do think quarantine has made me more like the kind of like fuck it attitude that I have towards food is more prominent than ever before.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know what? If it's a pile of random shit, I'm going to eat it.
We really differ here. I feel like quarantine has like made me even more obsessed and picky because I guess there's time to make a nice
there's
hot
time.
Meal.
And it does feel like an appropriate time to like want to have control over what you can have control over. And so, you know, I stand with you in separating, keeping your foods separate.
Yeah. No surprise mouthfuls of guac for me.
Right. The last one is very relevant to our times, outdoor dining.
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, now it's the only option, but
right.
Even in normal times, like I don't know, especially in New York, like it's just dirty. Yeah. Why do you want to eat next to a trash can? Something. But I hate them.
I think about that so much, especially lately, but I am so with you in general. It's like, especially in New York, you're right next to like the highway, basically.
Yeah.
Like there's cars driving past you, people on the sidewalk. Like,
it makes
rats
no sense
running
to me.
Everywhere.
I mean, when you're outside in New York, you're never more than 4 feet away from a bag of trash.
Of course, right.
That's the life, you know?
Are you on board with a picnic?
Well, like, right now, we've gone on picnics because there's no choice. That's, like, the only way to, like, go outside and do something. But I hate
right.
them. I hate eating on the floor. You can't have, like, proper utensils.
Right.
I'm not eating a burrito out there, you know?
So yeah, that is true. With your way of doing things, It's hard to eat that outside because you can't just jam it all together.
I don't like being exposed to the elements, you know, flies, mosquitoes.
I'm absolutely with you. Well, I had such a fun time complaining about all sorts of things, and I feel like I learned a bunch.
Hard-boiled eggs, crack them.
I'm going to go hard-boil some eggs, and I'm going to be amazing at it.
Yeah, this is fun. I like the sneak peek of the closet. It feels like we've really gotten to know each other. Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad shit go down easier, starting with do better, white people.
Matt, what are you highlighting this week? What resource or issue are you bringing up?
Yeah, I wanted to say, because I know sometimes this segment can be kind of like newslettery, and it's also like part of our chasers, which we say is the good stuff. I like to think of this as like, this is the segment where we could do something good to put out something good into the world, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's some action that you can take or some issue that you should inform yourself on that hopefully it makes the world a little brighter. And this week, I did want to talk about Beirut. If you haven't been paying attention, there was a horrific explosion in Lebanon. Honestly, that video is like haunting to me.
Yeah,
they are in desperate need of help and support and attention. You know, you and I were texting about this, of how it doesn't feel like there is the same level of like international like outpouring of support for Lebanon right now.
Yeah.
as there are to maybe some other like tragedies that have happened. The one kind of important thing that it seems like is being mentioned by people on the ground there a lot is that it's important to support organizations that are more local and not like government organizations there. Because, yeah, you can trust that the money that you're donating is going to the people that actually need it most.
Right.
So we'll put a link in the show notes for a few different places that you can donate a few dollars or however much you want and do something good. Now let's talk about what's bringing us some joy this week. Barry, what you've been watching?
So we're now on season 2 of Rami on Hulu. And season 2 has been so good so far. I mean, first of all, Mahershala Ali is in it as a main character. And that's enough to make it great. Also, it turns out that Mahershala Ali wanted to be on the show and had like gotten in touch with Rami and was like, I loved the first season, would love to be a part of it. And it was supposed to be like a one episode thing. And then they ended up creating a whole character arc for him. And it's really good. So really enjoying the second season so far. And then also Search Party, which is a show I feel like I must have talked about on the podcast before, but it's in its third season. It took so long for the third season to come out because it was in like weird hiatus, or it was in a weird like deal battle thing where like it was canceled from one network, but also already filmed. And so then like HBO Max ended up picking it up. And then my TV is Roku, and Roku, I guess, doesn't have a deal with HBO Max yet. So HBO Max is not available on my TV. And I've been wanting to watch Search Party, and finally was like, fuck it, I'll just watch it on my phone. So I finally got it and started watching Search Party. And it's so good. The third season, I love it so far. I mean, the cast in that show is insane. like, honestly, almost all of them have been guest complainers on the show. Like, it's like John Early and Lane Moore is in it. Like, so many people. And John Early is just a goddamn national treasure. He's so good in it.
Yes.
Yeah. So those are the things I've been watching this week. What about you?
I'm still watching a lot of the same stuff, trying to catch up. But Bob's Burgers, I don't think I've talked about at least in a while. I was very behind on all of my Bob's Burgers. And it is such a good, like, just fun, not serious at all, stupid, mindless show to watch.
It's just like a pure joy show.
Yeah, I love it. I love Bob's Burgers so much. So that's what I've been watching. What's your non-TV chaser?
My non-TV chaser was that I started biking around the city again, but specifically I biked all the way into Manhattan to see you on your birthday.
Yeah.
And it just made me so happy. I mean, first of all, the bike ride itself was really fun. And then I biked again today. And now my hip really hurts. And so that kind of ruined it. But I picked this chaser beforehand, so that's fine. But yeah, no, I biked into Manhattan to visit you on your birthday. And we got Shake Shack and distantly ate it. And it was so wonderful. The last time I had seen you was on my birthday. So it's been many months.
I know. It,
yeah. Brought me a lot of joy.
That was also my chaser.
Oh my God. No.
Well, most importantly, Shake Shack. But
I mean, yeah, that milkshake truly. I mean, did I think that I had hookworm afterwards? Yes. But was it worth the horror and terror? Absolutely.
That's when you know a milkshake is that good. When you actually mistake it for a parasite. That's when you know it's good. It was nice to actually see you in person. And to have human interaction in a public place. I'm still not getting behind, like, people are going really hard at restaurants outside, and no. I just I don't know, especially after seeing that man sneeze everywhere. I was just like, God, I'm never leaving again.
I could imagine it in a suburb, or a different city. But in New York, there's just no way to actually be 6 feet apart. So no. I'm just not at that point.
But yeah, it was nice to have a little picnic and get outside, even though it was 95 degrees.
Yeah, it was real feel 97, and I biked 5 miles to get to you. That's how much I love you.
Yeah, I feel like biking and walking have been good. I'm still, even though I'm fully sweating through several layers and my mask situation is damp as heck, but
I ended up, do you still just have one mask?
No, the masks that I wear, there's five of them that I go through.
Okay, good. I had one and then a couple bandanas, and I finally was like, we're going to be in this for a long time. And I ordered a bunch more.
Yeah. I have five of these black masks, and I wear them usually once, and then I put them in the washing machine, and I'm pretty sure they're fully disintegrating with every wash. And probably not becoming, therefore, not effective. But
right.
Who knows? I have no idea, because I'm not an epidemiologist. Until they're going to send out government-issued masks, guess what? I'm wearing this weird mask that disintegrates every time I put it in the washing machine. And eventually I'm going to have to buy more, because I literally can't keep using them.
There you go. One other chaser that I wanted to bring up, because I brought it up with you, is that I've been listening to Chloe and Halle's new album, which is called Ungodly Hour, and it is so good. Their voices are insane. So I just wanted to throw that out there, that if anyone's looking for some good jams, would recommend that album.
I have to listen. All right, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts, hit that subscribe button, then rate us and review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, and me, Matt Belisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hansel Su. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Belisai. And you can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter for all the latest podcast buzz. You can also leave us a voicemail on our rant hotline with your own rant at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you. you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. Vacation's all I ever wanted. Vacation had to get away.
I'm going on vacation.
Well, good for you. That she's not married, but I still call her like Mrs. Havisham or whatever. What is her name? Mrs.
Pottermore? Wait.
Pottermore. Yeah, it's like Mrs. Corn Syrup or something.